Hi, everyone. This is Meeting Brenda, a speed coaching program. I'm a personal coach, and I really want to help you create a life that works. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself first. My passion is helping people transform their lives into one they really love. So many folks are living what I call a just okay life, and they really want more out of that. You know how you see people, others enjoying life more and wonder how you can get there too? I use a technique called core energy coaching, and I can actually tell where you are energetically and what needs to happen for you to shift it into a better place. There are many different levels of energy that you're in throughout the day, but a lot of people kind of consistently stay in one or two of them. And the first one is the level of energy where you feel real sorry for yourself. You're a victim of circumstance. You have a lot of self-doubt. You worry a lot, and you have a lot of fear, and might even, you know, feel really anxious. And then there's others who have moved out of that feeling like a victim, and they are just plain angry. The kind of people that have that road rage thing going on, or the complainers waiting in line at Walmart, they're just always mad at something or other. But the good news is that once you're aware of where you are energetically, you can flip your switch, as I call it, and feel better right away. And I think we do all know people who function at a higher level of energy. They're those people that are really forgiving and compassionate, have a lot of concern for others, and the kind of people who actually take responsibility for their actions instead of blaming everyone else. And, you know, the good news is that we can all get there with some coaching. So let me explain the format of the show. We'll always begin with a guest coach who specializes in working with a certain type of client, and then after they're finished, about halfway through the program, I'll coach callers doing what I call speed coaching. So before I introduce my wonderful guest coach today, I'm going to give you a couple call-in numbers. The first one is area code 530-413-4511, and another call-in number is 530-413-4515. My guest today is Jamie Saganor in Los Angeles. Welcome, Jamie.
Hi, thank you so much, Brenda.
And you made it home in time for the show. Why don't you tell the listeners what you've just accomplished in the last couple of hours?
Right. Well, I flew from New York City from a wedding, and I just made it in time to LAX to get through the traffic and get home on time. So I'm really happy to be here.
Oh, and I knew you'd get home in time. I didn't have any doubt about that. But as I told you earlier, I didn't think that your plane would leave half an hour late and get in half an hour early. So I think that's the power of positive thinking. Yeah.
I don't know how that happened, but I'm
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your coaching niche. I did post it on the meetingbrenda.com website, but I think there's people who aren't familiar with that, and they'd love to know what you're up to.
Sure, yes. So I'm a certified holistic health coach, and I work with people who are looking to change their diet and their lifestyle, either for weight loss or for other health reasons, if they're experiencing low energy, digestive issues, any general health problems. And I coach them in a 6-month program, usually one-on-one, although I do group coaching as well, to take small incremental steps in order to make lasting lifestyle changes so that it's not like a crash diet where you then, you know, would gain the weight back afterwards. You have 6 months of full support to get you to your health goals.
I think you just described your client as pretty much everybody in the United States.
Well,
I mean, I don't know anybody who's not concerned about their health or their diet.
Yeah, and especially because we are in a health crisis right now in America, as most of us know, and I think the number is now over 70% of Americans are considered overweight, which is a pretty astonishing number. So there's definitely...
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is. And obesity is the precursor to most diseases, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, et cetera. So it really is of high concern.
I just read a new statistic about the... I think 1 in 4 children are obese.
And they also had to change type 2 diabetes from adult onset diabetes. They had to rename it type 2 diabetes because so many children were getting adult onset diabetes, and it became embarrassing to report that.
Wow, and you know, this is a celebrity thing that I read about. Drew Carey, who dropped, I don't know, how much weight? A lot.
I heard that too, yeah.
Yeah, and he went, I think all of his health problems are resolved now that he lost all that weight. I mean, he's not diabetic, his hypertension, I don't think he's hypertensive anymore. I mean, it's just amazing what you can do by...
Yeah, you reduce your risk of, you reduce your risk of heart disease by about 80%. By just shifting lifestyle and diet habits, and type 2 diabetes, I think, by 90%. I mean, lifestyle and diet shifts can really reduce your risk of most diseases.
Mm-hmm. So. And so the clients that you have, have a lot of them been, you know, diagnosed with these things already, or are they on the verge of it?
You know, a lot of people are looking to, a lot of people know people that have been diagnosed and basically mm-hmm. are looking to prevent it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually great. That's what we want to do. We want to work preventatively. That would be the thing that would shift America and health costs in America is preventative medicine. So luckily, you know, most of my clients are coming in before disaster strikes or when they're having, you know, first signs of something like low energy, you know, trouble sleeping, digestive issues, those kind of things that can signal that something is starting to break down, or, you know, a real struggle with weight, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
so we get
sound
to
like they're not doing it for vanity. They're really doing it for genuine concern about their health.
Yeah, and actually, a lot of people that even start with just thinking that they are doing it for vanity end up realizing really quickly that it is so far beyond that. And, you know, they decide on goals when they first meet with me, and weight and being able to fit in, you know, to their skinny jeans is often a goal that they set at the beginning. And within a few sessions, that goal sort of goes by the wayside because they realize that's going to happen anyway, and the real concern actually is, oh my gosh, I'm feeling so much better. I feel actually like I have energy now, and that becomes the main focus, nourishing themselves and becoming healthy. And that's a really, really good switch to see in people.
Yeah, that's a better goal than fitting into your skinny jeans, because as a woman, we all have three sizes in our closet,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Although it's a good motivation to get, you know, to get you started.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, right now I'm in my middle ones. I'm not in my fat ones. I'm in my middle ones.
Well, we all go through different phases in life, so.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's for sure. And what about men? Do you have a lot of men calling you for help?
You know, it's interesting because I didn't expect to have men be interested in the coaching, and almost immediately a few men did contact me, and it was mostly for weight gain, actually. A couple were weight loss, but men calling me for weight gain purposes, and that was interesting. That was not something I expected, and actually even a woman I am working with actually for weight gain, and just people who generally don't know what to eat. I mean, the information out there is very confusing, and there's conflicting studies that come out every single day, and you know, this diet book says this book says that, and it's really hard to make sense of everything that's going on. And so there's a general confusion and just basically about what to eat.
So, when you're standing behind those angry people at Walmart, as I mentioned earlier,
mm-hmm.
and you look what's in their cart, yikes.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you know, everything's white. Everything is, I'm going to say, ready to eat. You know,
right.
There's some
processed, prepackaged,
ooh,
high
yeah,
sodium,
bad stuff.
Refined, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, which is the general American diet, and it's why we have a huge problem. A huge
wow.
Problem. Yeah.
That's just amazing. Well, what do you think is the... Well, no, I have to ask you a personal question because we've never met. Did you ever have a weight problem?
You know, I didn't actually have so much of a weight problem as a sugar problem, and so it's interesting that you bring up the white flour and all of that kind
uh-huh.
of thing, because that was my problem. I was a sugar addict, a complete sugar addict, for a while, and of course, because we really don't get nutrition classes in school ever, you know? I mean, people
right.
don't learn about nutrition, so I didn't know what the effect sugar would have on my body, and the more sugar I ate, and I was young and I was athletic, so I didn't really think much of it, and I didn't have a weight problem because I was so athletic, but eventually I started having real health problems. And at one point, I realized that I was getting sick from the amount of sugar I was eating, and that I had basically turned myself hypoglycemic. So I went through the process of slowly, over the years, giving up sugar and white flour out of necessity, because it was not something I wanted to give up. But
In case anybody can relate to what you call sugar addict overload, tell me what you used to eat.
Oh God, how embarrassing!
Yeah, but you're not there.
Yeah,
now,
no, absolutely,
so
yes.
I'm sure whatever you describe might be very common to a lot of people.
Right. Well, I used to play soccer in high school, and it started with after soccer practice, almost every day, eating an entire pint of Ben and Jerry's ice cream. But that would just be after practice. Then, of course, I would have dinner and whatever dessert came after dinner,
okay,
and whatever I had eaten at lunch as well. But then when I was no longer on a soccer team, I would continue to eat like that. And you know, the problem was is that once I started eating the sugar, I couldn't stop. And so, you know, an entire pan of brownies or, you know, people, I mean, I'm sure most people who love sugar out there can understand what I'm saying about when you start eating sugar, you really can't stop. And it's,
you know,
and it's,
you know,
like something
when
takes
I knew
over
that,
your body.
What I did one night, you know, mm-hmm. I think they still sell it. It's a Bundt cake, right? And the one I bought was called the Tunnel of Fudge. And
yummy.
I really wanted chocolate one night. Well, see, this is a chocolate thing. Right. So I opened the Bundt cake, and I found the liquid Tunnel of Fudge thing.
Uh-huh.
And I cut off the top, and I tipped it back and started eating it, but it was, like, really bitter chocolate. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was pretty pathetic that I ate the tunnel.
Well, you make me feel better.
Huh?
You make me feel better. So I used to take spoonfuls of brown sugar. I mean, I can remember when I was young, like maybe 5 spoonfuls of brown sugar in the pantry, just, you know, sucking on it until it was
And the other thing I've done is do not inhale when you're eating dry brownie mix.
I've never tried that one. Thanks for the heads up.
You could die.
Okay.
Oh, dear. Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of people who like sugar and they like bread. And,
yeah.
you know, they put the bread on the table at the restaurant. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, you know, I basically, after I gave up sugar, I had heard that white flour breaks down like sugar in your body, but
mm-hmm.
I didn't want to believe it. And
yeah.
so after I had not been eating sugar for a while, I went to an Italian restaurant and I ate that bread before the meal, and then I proceeded to get an entire pizza, a personal pizza, and eat it. And I felt so sick the next day as if I had eaten, you know, 2 pints of ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what finally convinced me. And then of course I went into the nutrition field and, you know, started looking at the research, but at that point, it was how my body felt was convincing
yeah.
enough.
Well, what about people who are yo-yo dieters, people who are, you know, always moving between those 3 sizes of jeans we have in our closet? You know, what is it, do you think there's like a primary issue, or does everybody who has a weight problem, is it a common issue, or are they all different?
You know, that's a great question, and it's so important to know that 90% of all people who go on a diet regain all or some of the weight at one time or another. So that's 90% of dieters. So you're not alone if you have that problem. And the type of health coaching I do moves away from anything that looks like a diet, away from calorie counting and restriction, and completely away from even the discussion of the issue of willpower, because
mm-hmm.
I think most people feel like it's a failure of willpower. But if you're actually listening to what your body needs and you're trusting your body as the expert, which it is, it's this, you know, perfect, you know, bio machine basically
mm-hmm.
that keeps you balanced at all times. And if you start looking at the signals that your body gives you, like cravings, as gifts and valuable information instead of, you know, the the thing that causes your downfall in dieting. You're going to approach eating and your whole relationship from food from a completely different place. And that's where I work with people. That's how I work with people. And it's just a much more successful way to lose weight because, you know, you're not fighting this perfect machine that's your body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when your body is craving something, it's because something's out of balance. And it might be a food issue, or it might be a lifestyle or an emotional issue. And if you don't get to the heart of what you're really hungry for, you're still going to be hungry for it, no matter how much you try not to eat it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that Trader Joe's popcorn in the evening is something I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Low salt.
Oh, and that's another good point, is that everyone is different, you know, and so it really is important to take into account, first of all, personal taste, you know. If you like popcorn, then let's work with, you know, let's work
mm-hmm.
with what you like. But also everyone, you know, down to blood type, Ayurvedic body type, personal preference, you know, what your job is, how old you are, all of these things play a huge factor. And to try to prescribe a diet for everyone just doesn't, it's not feasible. It doesn't work. And so we work with bioindividuality, which is taking each person as a unique case and working
mm-hmm.
towards finding the right diet for them and their body at this time in their lives.
I know I went to a naturopath, I'm going to say, I don't know, 25 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and he told me, if you become a vegetarian, you'll get fat. You know, I'm a protein person. I need,
right.
you know, I need meat, protein all the time. And, you know, I think I was flirting with becoming a vegetarian, and he just said that's not the right fuel for your body. And, you know, I know it isn't, so I know how I feel when that's all I eat, so.
Right, yeah, and it's, you know, it's the only field, nutrition is one of the only fields where, you know, two completely diametrically opposed theories can be proven scientifically.
Uh-huh.
And,
yeah.
You know, so the whole point is bioindividuality. And for you, vegetarian may be the wrong way to go. For someone else, it may be their path to, you
mm-hmm.
know, health and wellness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really important to, you know, not preach about any specific diet because, you know, one person can be killed by eating a peanut, and for another person, it's the most sustaining, you know, grounding protein they
mm-hmm.
can have. So.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're all very different, so you just can't, you can't compare yourself to someone else, and you can't even do the same physical activities because people have physical limitations, so
exactly.
you know, certain type of exercise isn't going to work for everyone either.
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
so it's really fun. It's really fun to work with. It's
yeah.
great to work with people this way because you get to really, you know, delve into what they want for their lives, you know,
uh-huh.
way beyond just food because health is just the base. I mean, once health is not the goal. Health is the base from which you can live your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a really fun process to work
well,
with people
you know,
so
they
intimately.
Say that if you're, you know, you can be a bazillionaire, but if you don't have your health, so what?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
That really is important. And I think when people get to middle age, because that's mostly the type of the age of people that I coach, I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you haven't taken very good care of yourself, you still have a window of opportunity to catch up. You know,
yes.
all is not lost. You can't throw in the towel just because you turn 50 and think you're on a downhill slide. I mean, you can be vibrant and healthy, you know, in your 70s.
Absolutely.
As long as you take care of yourself.
Absolutely, and a lot of my clients are over 50, and are so you know I actually really enjoy working
mm-hmm.
with that age range as well. So,
well, I would love to have a caller, someone call in, so we can see what their nutritional questions are, and their, you know, maybe talk about what didn't work for them because we can just from talking to you, we know that there's no set formula that works for everyone.
Right,
and
yeah,
you know, once you've failed at a diet, I mean, you just, you know, it's like, now what? I remember my mom.
Yeah.
My mother would go on what she called, she'd have like coffee. She smoked coffee and toast.
Uh-huh.
That was her diet. And then I remember she read, it was really funny, I think it was called The Sexy Pineapple Diet. Cosmopolitan magazine, so that tells you something. Anyway, I think she gained weight on The Sexy
It was a little too sexy,
because,
huh?
Because in those days, I'm telling you, my mom didn't exercise. There was no exercise going on in the 50s. Zippo.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how they stayed slim. I mean, now I know how they stayed slim. They didn't eat.
Right.
You know, they were smoking and drinking coffee and eating dry toast and, I don't know, cottage cheese or something. I have no idea. But it wasn't like they were going out for a 3-mile walk after dinner or anything. I just think they were, it was a, I don't know what they did. But I don't remember any of my mom's, any of my friends' mothers being overweight.
It was just yours.
I don't know, but my mom wasn't overweight. It was like,
oh, okay.
You know, I think it was just, what do you think it is? I mean,
well
for
your
thing,
body
we didn't have these fast food pig portion things going on. And we ate
at home. Well, are you asking what the difference between your mother's generation, why they weren't
overweight? Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing it now that I'm talking about it because nobody was fat.
Oh, yeah. It's since the 1980s. I mean, if you look at graphs of obesity in America, it basically started on a serious incline in the mid-1980s, which ironically is also, well, not so ironically, is when the USDA food pyramid first came out. And so that's an interesting point.
That
but also that's when portion sizes started to increase. That's when food became, you know, the packaged food, and everyone became so busy, and everyone basically stopped cooking and eating out and using convenience food, and the trans fat issue. There were so many things at play, but it was between the 1980s and now that the incline has gone up so far, and it's also the sugar, you know, the issue of the sugar, which is absolutely in everything. And there's actually two other things. We spend so much time indoors nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more corporate the country became, the more office jobs people took. Recesses, I believe, got cut for kids. You know, fruits and vegetables disappeared from the diet.
Right.
You know, so many things happened, and you know, and then again the USDA food pyramid, which recently, well, not so recently, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, Neil Barnard, who is a vegan advocate, successfully sued the U.S. government because he proved that all of the people who were on the board of creating the USDA food pyramid were also on the boards of the meat, dairy, and other major food industry boards.
Mm-hmm.
So so that's an interesting point to see the increase starting also when that was created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because honestly, I remember there were like two fat kids growing up, right? I mean, that's as many as I can think of. And then I remember one, as we called him, you know, fat kid, between sixth grade and seventh grade, during the summer, during the summer, he probably grew 6 inches, right? So he went from being, you know, a kid somebody picked on to being the football guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, his growth spurt was in his favor, but now when you look at the kids, it's scary.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate, and it's actually really irresponsible. I mean, so we have to do something. It's a crisis. When 1 in 4 children are overweight, I mean, that's a crisis. When type 2 diabetes is hitting children at alarming rates, it's a crisis.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to read the call numbers again because I know we have listeners on the line. 530-413-4515 is open. So I'd love to have you call in and find out if Jamie has any words of wisdom for you, because I'm sure she does.
I hope so.
I mean, it is now that I start thinking about you know, what things were like when I was growing up, it's amazingly different now.
It is. And, I mean, people are starting to realize, I mean, well, the cost of, you know, the health care, mm-hmm. costs in America. I think, you know, usually people pay attention to money quicker than
right.
other things. And so the fact that we're in a financial crisis about healthcare, I think, is what is starting to get people moving in the direction of preventative care
mm-hmm.
and working with school lunches for kids, you know, changing the whole school cafeteria, what they serve, and getting the soda machines out of the schools and that kind of thing. I mean, slowly that's starting to happen. So that's the good news.
Well, you know, I realized that in high school, I don't know how, I'm sure it was for at least 1 year, I think I had a bologna sandwich on white bread, a bag of potato chips, and there must have been some kind of chocolate thing to drink. and that was my fuel, but, it, you know, that was all like high-fat stuff. But
right.
I don't think, you know what the chocolate thing was? A fudgesicle.
Oh, a fudgesicle. So it was
bologna sandwich, potato chips, mm-hmm. and a fudgesicle.
That's probably typical. That sounds like a typical American lunch. I mean, I know I ate a chocolate brownie, at least one, at every lunch
in
high school.
Uh-huh. Well, but, you know, when you stop and think about it again, it's, you know, people don't eat at home, you know, and there's food available at the drop of a hat, so you know you just don't.
Yes.
You don't. My concept is I don't eat what I call my idea. I don't eat food through the window. And somebody said, "What's food through the window?" And I said, "If somebody hands you food through your car window, don't eat it."
That's a good rule to follow. I like
Do
it.
Do not have food through the window, because I really believe, as I said, that I'm a core energy coach. I believe that food has energy, right? Life force. Certainly.
Absolutely.
Fresh fruit and vegetables and whatnot have a lot of vitality in them. So when you think about getting food shoved through your window wrapped in plastic or in styrofoam or whatever from, I don't know, a high school kid who doesn't want to be there,
mm-hmm.
you know, how could that sustain you?
Absolutely. That's such a good point. I remember in my school, I attended the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, and we had some pretty amazing speakers come. And one of them was David Wolf, who is a huge raw food advocate. And he brought in a slideshow of pictures of raw fruits and vegetables,
mm-hmm.
And they took the pictures with the ultraviolet light or whatever it is that
yes.
you can see the aura around
the energy
field around. It was amazing. I mean, it was the most brilliant looking thing you just wanted to.
We eat a lot of dead food, don't we?
A lot of dead food, and it just
yeah.
made me want to go run out and grab like a carrot stick and eat it. It was so beautiful, the
Something
energy coming
that had
from
been
it.
Actually ever been alive rather than invented, huh?
What did you say?
I said something that had been alive at some point rather than invented.
Invented, right, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, but the energy issue is a huge issue, especially, you know, with meat and
mm-hmm.
and dairy. And, you know, if you've had the opportunity to taste meat from, you know, a farmer who has open pastures and
mm-hmm.
treats his animals really well, you know, versus a farm factory raised animal, it's a huge difference. It's a huge
mm-hmm.
difference in how you feel
yeah.
afterwards, the energy transference between the species. I mean, it occurs whether or not you're aware of it. So it's a really good point. As an energy healer, you must.
I'm very aware of, you know, something that's just been cooked to death, you know, like when somebody offers. The other really awful thing I had growing up, which I'll never eat again as long as I live, are yellow beans from a can.
Uh-huh. From a can, right.
Yeah, those are, I mean, I grew up in North Dakota, and so in the summer, well, in the wintertime, we didn't have, you know, there was nothing fresh at all,
mm-hmm.
ever. And so we just ate canned stuff. But then, you know, once they start having frozen vegetables, which if they're, you know, if it's frozen in a timely fashion from
mm-hmm.
from the field, or actually have something still alive in them.
I just ate before the phone call. I ate frozen organic blueberries and strawberries, and they were delicious.
Oh yeah, I bet that sounds good.
Yeah.
But no ice cream. You cut out that pint of ice cream. What's up with that?
I did. Thank God. I don't know how Ben and Jerry should have been paying me, you know, for
advertising
for them.
But see, the thing with you is that you you know, you were, your body was moving enough to make up for it.
Yep. Yeah. And I never, so I didn't even occur to me that I had a problem. My mom, who was hypoglycemic, kept warning me, you know, she obviously saw the amount of sugar I was consuming, and she kept saying, you know, you don't want to end up like me. You don't want to end up not being able to ever have any sugar. So, you know, you should really slow down. But when you're, you know, when you're 16 or 17 or 18, you don't listen. So
well,
I didn't. And, exactly.
Well,
but it caught up with me.
Working with adults, I'm sure, is challenging, you know, just because of, you know, people have so many things going on in your life and trying to eat in a certain way, and especially if you're going out a lot, things like that, you know, you, I mean, there, you can make, I really think you can make healthy choices wherever you are.
Absolutely.
You might go home hungry, but, you know, you can still make the healthy choices because there's usually something on any menu, and even if you go to someone's home for dinner, you don't have to make a big deal about it.
Right.
You know,
it's really gratifying to work with people because it really is mostly about teaching them how to nourish themselves. So it's a very positive way of looking at food, and also it allows for, usually I work with the 90-10 diet, which is 90% of the time eat, you know, really healthy, and 10% of the time just eat whatever. So that allows for the times when you go over to someone's house and they have something that you normally wouldn't eat. But you know what? Enjoying home-cooked food, even if it has, you know, sugar or white flour in it, with people that are joyous and nourishing you in that sense, it's completely worth it. So it's a... nourishment comes from many places other than food, and I encourage people not to stress out about the times when they can't, you know, eat the best food.
Well, and nothing is worse than someone coming to your house and saying, I can't eat that, I can't, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know.
Yeah, and so I say, just enjoy it. If you're going to, if whatever it is that you're going to eat, if it's like some, you know, McDonald's french fries, even if you, if it gets to a point where that's all that's available, then eat it with the most joy you can and enjoy it to the fullest extent that you can with the people that you're with. And,
there you go. That'll cancel
and breathe
out.
Deeply. And
we're going to take a little musical break here and come back. And as I said, Jamie and I would love to talk to you about your nutrition or diet or weight loss issues. So give us a call.
Your
Hi everyone, this is Brenda at meetingbrenda.com, and we're doing a coaching show. I have a guest coach here tonight, Jamie Staginor from Los Angeles, and she's a holistic health coach with a lot of clients who have weight issues, as well as, I guess, Jamie, just general issues with their health.
Yes, yes. Particularly weight, losing weight, yeah.
Particularly weight. And I'm going to read you a number to call in so you can ask your questions. The number is 530-413-4515. So we'd love to have you call in and see if she can answer some questions for you about how to get yourself in better health and, I guess, live a long and prosperous life.
That's the idea.
Something like
that,
huh?
Set up for longevity.
Well, you know, let me ask you this, because I explained a little bit at the beginning about my the kind of coaching I do,
yeah.
And actually there's a lot of people who are in that kind of victim mode, feeling sorry for themselves and,
right.
You know, low self-esteem and stuff. Do you think that you encounter quite a few people in that?
I do. You know, the focus of my coaching is to put the power back into the client's hands, because
mm-hmm.
with weight and health issues, most people feel a victim of the medical system in general. They've either had negative experiences, or they feel like they need, or they feel like they're not the expert, and that the experts are, you know, telling them certain
mm-hmm.
things that either haven't worked, or they don't know how to think for themselves or listen to their bodies, because
mm-hmm.
they're listening to their doctors and all of the many, many magazine articles and diet books out there and all of that. So a lot of them are feeling disempowered, for sure, and immediately we start working with making their body the expert, and
mm-hmm.
I teach them how to listen to their body, and that itself, that in and of itself, starts to bring them out of that victim mode, because when you realize how amazing your body is and how the signals that it's telling you are really, really important to listen to and are the key to gaining your health back or getting to your ideal weight. And, you know,
I have good news.
Oh, yeah.
We have Jeff from Florida on the line.
Great.
For you.
Let's hear it.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi,
hey,
Jeff.
How are you doing?
Good.
Good. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Thank you.
Good.
Tell us what you want to ask about.
Well, I just wanted to ask, I really don't.
Oops.
Folks, usually ask
him
on the first time.
Oh, there you are. Go ahead,
Jeff.
Oh, we
didn't hear your question.
Hello.
We're here. Jeff?
Okay.
Oh, it's going in and out.
Yeah. I don't think he's gone, though. I was going to say he's up late.
In Florida, right.
Uh-huh.
11:30,
Jeff, call
right?
back. Yeah.
Oh, well, hopefully he'll call back.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeff would love to hear your question.
Uh-huh. Well, I lost my train of thought what you were talking about.
We were just talking about bringing people, you know, back to or out of victim mode.
Oh, yeah. Well, I suspected that might be an issue with some people because I think once you get to a point where you're I just got a message. He asked him to call back, so I hope he calls back.
Okay.
Once you get to a point where, you know, you've neglected yourself and, you know, have all this, like you said, negative feeling from the medical establishment, you know, you have a tendency to get really down on yourself and depressed.
Absolutely, and especially if you feel that you did, you know, have failed at diets and
mm-hmm.
that you must not have the willpower. There's a lot
okay,
of
Jeff
anger.
Back.
Oh,
Jeff
great.
Back. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing? You hear me now?
Good. Yeah.
Yes, we hear you.
This is a first time. I've never called in before. What's the format? What do people usually ask on the first call?
Well, you know what? Jamie knows a lot about health and weight loss and wellness, and I know a lot about a lot of other stuff. So if there's something that you have a concern with, whether it's your health or something else, go ahead and let us know, and we'll see if we can help you.
What about financial future?
Well, I'll tackle that one. What's up? What's going on?
Well, that's what I'm asking you.
Oh, you mean what about your financial future?
Yes.
You mean like I'm going to tell you that? I'm not a mind reader, Jeff.
Okay, is this the cards?
No, you know what? You missed Robert Camp's show.
Oh, okay,
it's
so
over.
I'm on the next show.
His show is over. We're the show that follows him.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah,
sorry
but
to what's, bother you.
What is going on with your finances?
Kind of stuck.
I'm serious.
Kind of stuck in the mud.
Oh, you're
Why,
stuck?
Why, you got some good deals?
Well, are you stuck in other places in your life?
Oh, probably.
So maybe there's a trend there.
Yeah, there might be. Okay,
yeah.
Well, look. Thanks a lot. You have a
okay.
good day.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye, Jeff.
You too.
Uh-huh. Oh,
you know,
I got to tell Robert Camp his caller was an hour late.
you know, we talk about in health and wellness, primary food versus secondary food, primary
mm-hmm.
food being the things that you don't eat. So that would be relationships, career, exercise, and finances would certainly fit into that. And the idea is that if your primary food is in balance, it makes what you eat secondary. And so I do actually work with people. I mean, I'm not a financial expert or anything,
uh-huh.
but I certainly do talk to people about finances because sometimes that's what's out of balance, and that could be causing, you know, something to be happening in the food area. Overeating, you know, for stress or
oh,
comfort,
yeah,
that kind of thing. So,
yeah, if
yeah.
you're, yeah, I mean, I know that if you're working, you know, 50, 60 hours a week, I don't know that you're going to be able to take very good care of yourself.
Right.
You know, that makes it difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just that, you know, you get in that a vicious cycle of I can't exercise, I can't eat well because I'm on the road all the time, you know.
Right.
I can just hear it. Been there, done
that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and the key is working with what someone's got and the schedule that they have and figuring out, you know, scheduling in basically downtime and, you know, time. Sometimes my clients say they don't have time to grocery shop or prepare food or any of that, so I work with them to, you know, fit it in because they schedule everything else as a priority other than nourishing themselves.
Well, I was going to say, what do they have to give up? They have to give up something, don't they?
Well, mostly
I mean,
when
to fit all that in.
Yeah, mostly when I can shift their thinking so that nourishing themselves is a priority, and when they actually see the impact of it not being a priority, because when you don't, it's easy to not think about yourself. I mean, it's easy to let that go. But once they start to think about their bodies in a different way and about nourishing themselves in a different way, they realize how important it is, and they are able to schedule it in. Everyone has time to schedule in good meals for themselves. It just might take some creativity in terms of how they do it. Some people might have time once a week and they prepare food for an entire week. Some they might have to find places along the way, you know, in between work and home to, that's really healthy to swing by and get their dinner there. But we figure it out so that they have a system so that they're not left with nothing to eat. Which does happen with a few of my clients, especially the ones that are trying to gain weight. So.
Oh, okay. Now, what happens if, do you have clients that have families, and so they have all these, you know, like two kids don't eat this, and then the husband does this? I mean, how do you work around that?
Again, it's, you know, it's the thing where they say if you're in an airplane and the masks come down for the oxygen, you know, put it on yourself first before you assist others. That's, you know, that's basically the route that I go with people that are taking care of other people, is that when you're taking care of yourself, you have, you are more able to take care of other people. And when, you know, it's basically, it's a shift in thinking. And once that happens, you know, and once they actually feel the difference and then feel the difference in the relationships with their family and see that, oh, that's actually true. I'm better able to give to my family when I first am stable and fed, you know, it's, then, you know, that's how I work with them.
Yes, I think
but I mean, it does take a while, but actually not that long. I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, it's just complicated. I think, I mean, I don't have kids and I don't have to, you know, rush home and try and feed them and, you know, do all that stuff that parents have to do after work. And I think, you know, that you usually take the easy way out. And
absolutely, absolutely. And once you figure out, once you decide that it is a priority, I mean, most, a lot of sessions are myself working with a client to just looking at their schedule and figuring out what where is the time that you can feed yourself? What works? You know, how can we do this? And just creatively figuring it out and supporting them in doing it, because sometimes it really is difficult for them to see where that's possible.
I have a question. What do you think about these television programs like the Biggest Loser? And I know there's, I'm going to say something on cable, thin intervention or something like that.
I don't know the second one, but you know, I actually think that in a way, I mean, I don't watch a lot of the television shows, but I think the idea in a way is great because of the community support. I think one thing that is hard for people who are trying to lose weight is feeling isolated and unsupported, which is one reason why a coach is such a helpful thing to have, because you're completely supported through, you know, the entire process. And so being supported in a group, you know, with a coach, I mean, I know they have a, they usually
they have everybody.
Exactly. Yeah. They have, you know, a person to work with that exercise. Yeah. So that is incredibly helpful. And, I think it could be great. I think it could be a great idea.
Well, I know that, I mean, I've only seen it, I haven't seen it this season at all, but I know when they first show them how much they can eat.
And I haven't
they're
seen it,
They're in
so.
Shock. They're absolutely in shock.
Right.
It's like, oh my God, I'll die. And then I saw one time where they had like a temptation thing, where there was a whole table full of goodies of some kind. And, you know, a couple people would go for it. But, I mean, it's just amazing once they start teaching people how to eat in a healthier fashion. It's, oh boy, it's a shock.
Absolutely, and people really don't have, I mean, there's nowhere to look for that. And so in at least this is a program where you're getting nutritional information and you're getting the support. You know, we just don't have, I mean, we're fed from the food, the commercialism of the food industry. They're trying to sell their products. So if you're getting your information solely from that, then you're not, you know, you're going to be pulled into the things that look the tastiest and it might not mm-hmm. be the healthiest.
So your coaching program, you said it's 6 months usually you work with clients?
Yes, the best way to do it is a one-on-one over a six-month period, just so that you do get that support through the entire time. It takes a long time mm-hmm. to actually change your habits and make them lifestyle and lifelong habits. And so, yeah, 6 months. But I do some workshops, some shorter workshops,
mm-hmm.
Some group programs. And I'm about to do a sugar workshop next month.
Oh, what's that all about?
It's called Beat the Sugar Blues in 3 Weeks, An Introduction to Revitalizing Your Health. And since I came from the background of sugar addiction, I thought it would be
mm-hmm.
A good thing to share
what
I've been
interesting.
Through. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, so it'll be 3 weeks, and I'll be offering a lot of information on what to exchange, the really yummy things that you can eat that don't
uh-huh.
have sugar. Because
like what you had for supper. Your berries, yeah?
My berries, exactly. That's right. And, fruit sweetened desserts. I eat a lot of raw chocolate desserts that are sweetened with either fruit or agave nectar. I use stevia as a sweetener. I did not stop eating desserts, put it that way.
uh-huh. And do you give them recipes and stuff then too?
Yep, I share recipes. I bring them things to taste sometimes, my favorite little chocolate treats or other things. And it's a very supported program
mm-hmm.
with handouts, book suggestions, food samples. And I also have a newsletter that comes out once a month. That could be for anyone. It's free. So if you're interested,
mm-hmm.
you can sign up at my website, www.jamiesaganor.com. And I think that's posted on your page.
It's on the meetingbrenda.com website,
right.
too, under Great Coaches. I'm just curious as to, like, that first month of
mm-hmm.
working with you,
mm-hmm.
do people think that's really hard?
You know, it's interesting because I do an initial consultation, and sometimes the initial consultation can be so dramatic for people that makes the first month easy.
Mm.
So, and then if that's the case, then it gets a little bit harder once, you know, the old habits start to come up and then you really get deep into what's stopping them. But
mm-hmm.
but people are so not used to, they think when they come to me that I'm going to tell them they can't eat all of their favorite things, and they're prepared to do weigh-ins and all of this kind of thing. And so it's just a complete paradigm shift to
mm-hmm.
not have to count calories, to not weigh themselves, and to not have to just immediately give up everything that they like. So I work with crowding out, which is adding really great, yummy, healthy stuff in, and that naturally crowds out the food that's not so good for
mm.
you instead of giving
mm-hmm.
them a list of restrictions. So
yeah.
People are usually pretty excited at the beginning because it doesn't seem so tough, and it's because it's a six-month program, it's small steps, really, really doable, manageable steps that just become habit before they even know it. So.
Oh, yeah, I think over a six-month period, because, as you said, it would be very gradual. So even if you had a family that you fed every night
right.
and, you know, maybe had a really, I'm going to say heavy, like business lunchy type of, you know, job,
mm-hmm.
that doing it over the course of 6 months would make it doable rather than
yes.
a cold turkey thing, because that's, you know, when people say, oh, I'm going to start a diet, I'm going to go on a diet on Monday, it's like,
right.
Why not today?
right. right. And this is not a diet, so it's
uh-huh.
great. People have fun. They get so excited.
Yeah.
It's just completely doable and manageable,
yeah.
and they don't have to feel like they're failing. I mean, it actually is easier than they think it will be when they first come.
Well, it sounds like you have a really interesting coaching practice, and obviously you're just a wealth of knowledge about nutrition and you know, everything else related to living a holistic lifestyle. I'm sure you're a really good resource for your clients.
Oh, I do. I try to be. Thank you.
Yeah, so definitely sounds like it. So I'm really happy you were on the program tonight. I wish that Jeff had wanted to know something else besides whether or not we could solve his financial problems.
Right.
But I just want the listeners to know that Jamie did give you her email or her website, and it's also on the meetingbrenda.com website as well. So give her, shoot her an email or read about her, because she obviously has, as I said, a lot of knowledge and has helped a lot of people get to a better place physically and mentally. And, you know, everything changes when you feel better and when you feel good about yourself. Everything changes. So
it really does. It really does.
It's a good place to be. So
yeah.
I'm just going to tidy up loose ends here. So our time is up for tonight.
Well, thank you so much, Brenda. It was a real pleasure. Thanks
you're
a lot.
You're welcome. And please check the meetingbrenda.com website for more information about the program and the contact information. And I'd certainly appreciate it if you have a need for a special type of coach to fill out the contact form and tell me about it, because I know I know a lot of great coaches who do a lot of different types of coaching, like relationship or career, you know, dealing with your kids even. I know teen coaches, so I know a lot of people in those areas, so just let me know and we can have them on as a guest. And thanks so much for sharing your lives with us tonight, you listeners and Jeff. And I'm looking forward to next week and more opportunities to work with you. And just remember that life is an adventure and there's more than one road to the finish line. Good night.